TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
You know, I think I'm just going to keep playing that song until they tell us to stop, Dave. Regardless of the future of our format, regardless of the future of Hockey Talk, I like that as an opener. I don't know how you feel about it, but I enjoy it as an opener. It's a good sports show opener.
It's tradition at this point. The Blackhawks, I mean, they're not going anywhere, so they don't.
Yeah, it's not like they need to file copyright complaints because it's not like anybody's catching goals scored in Chicago.
It's like Major League. Don't worry, no one's listening anyway.
No one's listening anyway. Indeed. Hello, everybody. Welcome, of course, right now as it stands to another edition of Hockey Talk here on the ChairShot Radio Network, a part of the ChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Oh, it is.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I, of course, am joined by our good friend David Ungar, my partner in crime, the man I podcast more than I do, even more than I do with my best friend. So you're really my podcasting brother in arms. I know you do way more podcasting than I do, but like I know you seem to be all over the place.
I show up. So I mean there is that.
And you are reliable and that is not always the case with one DeMarco or Patrick. Like, in fairness, we make a lot of jokes about Greg. But, like, Patrick is just as guilty on a Tuesday of just being like, you know what, bro? Not feeling it, brother. As I stroke the Fu Manchu, and I'm like, it doesn't work for me, brother. It just happens.
Yeah, but do you get booed out of your own household?
You know, the little O'Dowd has... The little O'Dowd is... He has done a little more than that. Like, he gaslights the shit out of me, man. And I know this is a creature of my own creation, by the way. Like, this isn't like I that he just decided he doesn't like me. Like, he is a troll to the nth degree. I took him with me to bowling while I was off, and he was still on holiday vacation. And I remember I introduced him to a couple of other bowlers. And then the week after, I was talking about, you know, he really enjoys hanging out and just giving a hard time to one of my teammates who bartends when he doesn't bowl with me on Thursday nights. And one of the guys who had met him, he was like, you know, when I met that kid, I was like, oh, he's got a little bit of asshole in it. And I was like, oh, well, I did that. That's my fault. I take full responsibility for our actions. My bad. But here we are. It is January 14th by the time that this thing airs. We are in the midst of our transition to more of a sports talk format. We still haven't quite decided on a name or really how this show is going to work or what's going to happen. I think that there is some negotiating that needs to happen because there's some talk with our friends over on the NFL side of things with T-Tony and them about wanting to continue their show and kind of taking on a similar format. So we may be under the same banner with a kind of a twice a week dose of like sports news and talk. We'll see.
Right. Cause there's only, you know, one sports talk thing on all the major networks, right? You only need one opinion on this stuff. So, I mean,
oh yeah, absolutely. Like you only need to hear one thing. Here's the other thing is I also think that we're a little more diversified in our sports proclivities and like sort of what we watch and follow. Like I think it would be generally regarded and agreed upon that I am the college sports guy. Yes. Like that is my bread and butter and wheelhouse. You and I both have passion for hockey. I appreciate the NFL, but my team is trash and not in the playoffs like most of the rest of the chair shot people that we got. Like DC Tunney's a Packers fan. He's got the Green Bay Packers. Your Washington Commanders in the playoffs. They play Sunday night. By the time this airs, Dave will either be a happy camper or disappointed Dave being like, this is exactly what I thought would happen.
Honestly, it's okay. I mean, this team shouldn't have been here. 12-5. Sure. Would I like to see them win? Absolutely. If they
lose, that's a great team.
Yeah. I mean, if they lose, then it's the first year in this whole thing, you know, they've got all sorts of cap space. People want to go and play there. They're going to be much better next year.
Despite your ownership.
Well, our ownership's great now.
That's true.
I mean,
true.
Now that Danny Boy is in Finland or wherever.
I still project onto my ownership, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. So here's what I had in mind for today. We've been covering the college football playoff, I think, since this whole thing started. I'd like to talk about the two games that happened this past week in the college football playoff, compelling in their own sort of unique ways. Obviously, the Notre Dame and Penn State game was just a dramatic finish to what was a very boring football game for about 2.5 quarters. And then, of course, then the Ohio State Notre Dame game, or not Ohio State Notre Dame, the Ohio State Texas game, and sort of what that game really was and what it showed. I think that is absolutely worth talking about. I got to talk. I don't know if talk's the right word, Dave, but I got to rant about the Chicago Bear coaching search and how it is being executed. And we're going to flip-flop what we've been doing as of late. We're going to actually start the show today talking hockey because Ovi is still at it. And the first headline I saw when I opened up my NHL.com overview, just news and headlines, Alex Ovechkin hits his 20th goal for the 20th straight season. He is only the second player in NHL history to accomplish that feat. Now, I don't know if you know this, and I don't want you to cheat, but do you know who the other player in NHL history is to achieve 20 goals in 20 straight seasons?
Probably Gordie Howe.
You are correct, sir. Gordie Howe. Gordie Howe, the only other. That is the elite of elite hockey. Howe accomplished it in 22 straight seasons, starting in the 1949 to 1950 season, through 70 and 71. Now, Ron Francis is the only other player in NHL history to have scored at least 20 goals in 20 seasons over the course of his career, consecutive or otherwise. But Ovi and Howe, 20 and 20. Okay, if Alex Ovechkin had more than, what's he have, one cup? If Alex Ovechkin had more cups, would he be more strongly in the conversation with a Wayne Gretzky and a Gordie Howe as greatest of all time candidates? And I don't talk about goats, but I am hard pressed when you look at all the things that Ovechkin has accomplished over the course of his 20 year plus career to say that he's at least the greatest of, in the first half of his career, he was the greatest of his decade.
I would match him up against probably anybody in this conversation and say he is the greatest goal scorer of all time.
He's not a two-way player necessarily.
He's evolved a little bit. Like the goal he scored last night on an empty netter. But he blocked the shot and then took off after the puck and did an empty netter. I mean, Ovechkin from, you know, when he came into the league roughly to about, I don't know, man, like the year that I think he didn't play enough because Dale Hunter
04.
Yeah, he came in 04, but there was a playoff run. I think it was 2011 when we beat Boston in game 7 where Dale Hunter was the coach and he didn't play Ovechkin as much because he was more defensive focused. And ever since then, Ovi's taken a more like two-way. He'll never be confused as a two-way player. But I think from my standpoint, Pat, honestly, I look at it from a more of a micro sort of perspective. And if Ovi had more cups, I would say I would compare him more favorably to Sid. And it pains me to say that, but Sidney right. Crosby has the better resume. You're talking about a guy, three cups, an Olympic gold medal, back-to-back cups. Yes, he is not this goal scorer that Ovechkin is. Has he been a better captain than Ovechkin has? I would say yes. Has the Penguins had obviously more success than the Capitals? I've lived through all that. So I think if he gets a second cup this year, let's, you know, for the sake of argument, and I've got you know, and this isn't me just being negative. There's things going on with the Caps that I'm concerned about that I've seen over the last week that a lot of us who follow them are noticing. But yeah, if he gets a second cup, you really have to rethink where you put him. And you say, do you look at him as just this pure goal scoring machine who, okay, he's a better pure goal scorer than Gretzky was, and that's why he's going to pass him. But overall, you know, that like, you know, like it's like the Dan Marino thing, right? Except Ovi has one and Marino right. never got one. But I think, yeah,
you know, right. you know what else is, yeah.
No, if he gets that second cup, you really have to look at his career differently.
Here's the other thing that really blows my mind about Alex Ovechkin, in terms of just, you talk about greatest goal scorers of all time. Now this is season number 20 for Ovi. So 20 seasons, he has 18 30 goal season. And the only reason he doesn't have 19 is because this would be 19 if he gets 30 this year, which he's going to get 30 goals this year. He will have 19 30-goal seasons. And the only season that he did not score 30 goals was in 2021 when he scored 24, but that was a COVID-19 shortened season where he lost out on 56 games. To get to his 30.
And think about they had that lockout that one year that shortened the season down quite a bit.
And he's still got 30. He holds the NHL record for 40 goal seasons with 13. Now he'll never break the 50 goal season record. He's tied with Gretzky and Mike Bossy for 50 goal seasons with 9. Like, yeah, I don't think he's going to score 50 goals this year. I don't know. Maybe he will. Like, he's kind of on a crazy pace to do so. But, That would also be truly remarkable to see. But and Lister, I'm sorry if this feels like an Alex Ovechkin podcast.
What's the biggest story going in hockey, right?
But every week he is doing something at 39 years of age that is just, it's otherworldly. And you can't, like, whatever, you know, people are going to discount the empty net goals because that's what shit talkers do. I don't care. As we just had described right there by our good friend Dave, like, he blocked the shot that then turned into a goal, you know, against the man advantage. Like, you're still doing your job. You made the defensive play right. to get it done.
He's got, what, 870-something goals right now. Only 60 of them are empty netters in his career, 60-something.
Right.
So that leaves 820 or 800 that aren't. And I mean, it's like, yeah, I get what you're saying. But he's the biggest story right now, because you're looking at a record that's going to be broken that most people thought would never be broken. And you know, it's like, you know, when Cal Ripken broke Lou Gehrig's record or some of these other things that have gone out there, records that you think that can never happen. And here it is, you know, and it's like, you know, compare and contrast. Saquon Barkley had a shot at breaking the NFL rushing record last week, decided, you know, my team is more important, I'm going to sit out for that. So, it's just interesting. I mean, yeah, he is the biggest story in hockey. I mean, we're at the midpoint of the season. We're about to do the Four Nations thing, so they're going to take a break. But he, if you look at everything going on in hockey, what else do you want to talk about, right?
There's really not much. The other big story in the NHL right now, in my opinion, is the Winnipeg Jets not falling off, because that was the other thing. You know, and here they are sitting atop the NHL in wins with 29, which, by the way, your Caps, right behind him at 28. Like, you know, I know you're saying, you know, you're seeing things that warn you or concern you, and that's always a part of it. But 28 wins at this point in the season, almost, you know, we're over halfway through it. Like, we're getting it done. Nations Faceoff is February 12th. We're about a month away from that. So we still got some hockey to play. But, you know, that is the number one, number two stories. Like, that's it. Chasing Gretzky should be the number one story in hockey. It should be.
And for the Caps, I think, you know, the concerning thing is they're being outshot and outshot badly the last week, last 7-10 games. And you look at, like, this last week where they've got points in every game. They lost to Buffalo in a shootout.
Right.
They lose to Montreal on a fluky goal in overtime. So they're getting points, but if they're putting, like, they were badly outworked by Nashville last night. But the difference between last year and this year, their defense is really stout. You are not getting, I mean, they're of course, Charlie Lindgren on IR, that's not going to help matters. But I'm, like, looking at the standings, like, even with all this stuff, they're being, I'm not saying they're being outplayed, they're being outshot, and they need to fix that. But at the same time, they're not losing in regulation. They've now opened up a 5-point lead on New Jersey in the Metro.
Yep.
So they're
plus two. They're plus two in the win column, and they're two games back in terms of games played of New Jersey too. So they're also ahead of schedule in that regard. And you know what? You know my favorite stat. You talk about not getting outshot. Their goal differential, despite being outshot, is plus 43.
Oh yeah, you're not.
They're scoring.
They're scoring. They're not being. You look at like compared to last year. You know, Carlson is tremendous. Chychrun is having a fucking career year. This may be one of the best pickups that they've done in a long time.
Right.
And like I messaged you last week, you know, we talked about the U.S. winning the juniors last week. Ryan Leonard was the MVP of that tournament, and he's a Washington Capital who hasn't even stepped foot on. If he comes in, they're going to be a really tough
There's a lot to be excited about. I did, before we shift away from hockey, we made fun of coaching changes and changing the fortunes. But watch out for the Bruins. Why do I think that? I mean, you look at where they are in the wild card rank. They're starting to win games. Well, they're starting to put a little bit more together.
Yes and no.
They're catching up. That's my point. Catching up.
This is, and I was going to comment on this. This kind of shows that the East is a little bit weaker this year than in past. Because Boston just
lost.
They lost six in a row. And then they finally figure out a way to beat Florida. And I don't know if you saw the end of that game. They missed like an empty netter, clanged off the post. Reinhardt scores with literally 1.8 seconds left. But the Bruins find a way to win it over.
Doesn't matter. And they find a way.
We know that they do not fare well against the Florida Panthers. So I do agree with you. That's a big win. They've been really inconsistent. The Islanders have finally started to win a little bit. They've got three in a row. The Rangers are the Rangers. At this point, I don't know what this.
Well, means. I'm done talking about how terrible the Rangers
Detroit's
are.
Detroit's won six in a row.
What I look at here with Boston is this was a team we left for dead. We were talking about, but right now, at this moment in time, when you look at the wild card rankings and standings, they're there, and that's, you know, you fired your coach, and so yeah, 6-game losing streak, and you're still there. I get it's a down division, but you know what? Those are the teams you got to watch out for in the playoffs.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
You know this, Washington fans.
How are you feeling about the defending champs, man? They seem to have fallen off a bit this year, Florida. Not play. They started off on fire, but lately, not so great.
Yeah, they're okay. They're number two right now over there on the Atlantic. They're sort of playing middling hockey. They're not beating teams as decisively. No, they're only 3 points back of the Leafs, and I don't trust the Leafs either at all. Like, I just don't. You can't. Like, best regular season team that we talk about on this podcast. So, like, they're solidly in the playoffs. So, I can't really discount what we're seeing. But, yeah, I don't feel great about them. They are what they are.
I was tired of going to overtime. Every single Caps game except last night went to overtime this last week. It's like, man.
Well, I will say the Blues, while they're not winning a lot of games, are at least scoring more. I do like that. Like, good job, guys. Maybe that coaching change was the right answer.
Where are they in the standings?
Buried. They're buried. Not buried. They're not going
anywhere. They're only 4 points out from the last wild card. They can make that up. I watched them. Did they lose to Columbus last night?
I actually don't remember because I did not track it. I was busy watching professional football at the time. So. And then this morning, I spent all morning working on my homework for Bandwagon Nerds later, so I didn't check score.
I see how you are. Oh, well, let's give Patrick an update here as to what went down last night. 2-1, Blue Jackets. Sorry.
Shocker. I was also sort of basking in misery as my Dave, I want to say this. This might be the pessimistic fan in me, but are you the same as me that when people start talking about your team, you're like waiting for the shoe to drop and for them to go south and lay an egg somewhere? So, and here's why. So the University of Illinois basketball program had been on a tear. It had a 5-game winning streak. They mollywopped Oregon at home. They beat Washington in kind of a gritty game where a kid for Washington goes off for 7 3-pointers. They come home. They lose their lottery pick, talented caliber point guard, and they still manage to beat a very good Penn State team by 39. So after they beat this team, everybody across the nation is talking about watch out for Illinois. this could be it. This is a dangerous team. They've got Final Four potential. They could win a national championship. They could win the Big Ten. They're going to play. They got to play. They got a game against. And here's what they're like. They got a home game against USC. USC is not very good. They should be able to take care of this. We lost by 10 at home. And just an atrocious performance. Well, and it's one of those things. It's like you knew that losing your star point guard was going to be a problem at some point. And it doesn't seem like the injury for this guy is particularly serious, but it's enough that they wanted to rest him against a game, against a team that they thought they could reasonably win. And then it was like they forgot how to do everything that got them to where they were. They were poor offensively. They didn't rebound the basketball, which is something they have done very, very well. They just forgot how – they just didn't defend. They were a fucking sieve. It was awful. And now all of a sudden, this is what happens in Central Illinois and across Shambana Nation. The sphincters, whoosh, they shrink up and they tighten, and now we're like, well, shit, we got to go to Bloomington and take on Indiana at home, and Indiana's playing really well. Watch out for us. Awesome. All right. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little football, both college and pro, because Patrick wants to whine about the Bears. We do have what appears to be a coaching deal done in New England. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that as well. And then we'll talk some college football playoff, because, you know, semis were better than the quarters. We'll just say that.
Yes.
So listen to our thoughts on that when we come back. You're listening to Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Hair thinning can happen for so many reasons. Whether it's stress or hormones or anything, at Nutrafol, we've learned that real change starts below the surface. Our hair growth supplements take a whole body approach and target the key root causes of hair thinning, so you can see visibly thicker, stronger hair in 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Hockey/Sports Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot for all of your Chairshot swag needs. $19.99 for t-shirts. Spend a few dollars more. Get it soft style. Your giblets will thank you. Okay, let's start with coaching carousels in the NFL. As it comes out, we're recording this on Sunday, so by the time you listen to this, it will be old news by then. But it was released and announced today, Sunday, that the Patriots have found their new head coach. They have reached an agreement with former Patriot player, fan favorite, local favorite, Mike Vrabel. Vrabel, of course, coached over in Tennessee for a bit and is now here with the Patriots, a homecoming of sorts. And I'm going to talk about the Bears in detail a little bit more in a second, but I just want to point out the contrast of how one organization is managed versus the other. Now, I understand that the guy who is probably the top Chicago Bears target is currently still coaching for a team in the playoffs, as they are definitely going after, you know, Detroit Lion offensive coordinator. I forget his name. I need to pull it back real quick. Ben Johnson, yes.
Not the sprinter kids, the other Ben Johnson.
No. Hey, I literally sent you an email, or not an email, a text, where I was like, finally, we interviewed this dude. Because we were going crazy. We were going crazy, waiting on this. So
I think I sent you something back, and the interview went very well. And
yeah,
and
that seems to be the reports.
And I was like, you know, I mean, we could table that until we get to it, but anyway.
Yeah, we'll table it. Let's react to this. Let's react to Mike Vrabel. That's a solid hire. I don't know if it'll take him to the promised land, but he's a solid player. He was a solid player. He's a solid coach. Is he a dynamic coach? I don't know about that. If there is one thing the NFL loves to do, it's recycle players or recycle coaches. So you usually get more chances than you deserve. But he had a couple of good runs with Tennessee before being let go. So this could be it for the Patriots getting back on track.
Yeah, I mean, the firing of who was their coach? Mayo was the one from this last year who got fired.
Gerard Mayo, yes.
Under, I don't know, man. That one kind of like, and I know Robert Kraft came out and said, this is on me. It's not on him. But it's like 1 year. I mean, you had nothing going into this year. Everybody predicted you guys would finish dead last. He got you like 3 or 4 wins. You got Drake May started to show some signs. So I think they pulled the plug awfully quick on him. That being said, yeah, Vrabel's a good choice. I mean, he's got a pedigree with the Patriots. He went through all the glory years with him. He'll be very motivated to get them back to that. Kraft obviously knows him very well. The fan base knows him, loves him. He'll bring that hard-nosed sort of competitive fire, at least, especially on the defense. I don't know. You know, May is one of these quarterbacks that I think could be really, really good with the right sort of coaching and teaching and that sort of thing. So I like the hire for New England. I think, you know, out of all the candidates who are out there, Vrabel makes the most sense for him. Yeah, he had success in Tennessee, shit the bed in the playoffs a bit. That stuff's going to happen. But I like him as it feels right, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. He was coach at Tennessee for 5 years. He wasn't spectacular. But he did good enough. This seems like it's probably a good fit. He knows Robert Kraft. He worked for Robert Kraft as a player, coming back as a coach. Hopefully Kraft doesn't meddle. You know, Kraft ranks right up there with Jerry Jones, in my opinion, sometimes with, you know, those owners that are just a little too involved in the goings on. Like, I get wanting to win and I get like winning, but you gotta let your coach do his job. All right, let's shift gears. Dave, have you gotten your call from the Chicago Bears yet? To interview for the head coaching because I got mine.
Did you?
I got mine. Okay. So
they know you're a Bears fan.
I felt like the interview went okay. Here's the thing, and hopefully Johnson is the guy. Hopefully Johnson is the guy. He's the guy who makes the most sense. Honestly, the Bears interviewed Mike Vrabel. Like, they've interviewed like everybody. It feels like under the sun. They, you know, Mike McCarthy. Brian Matsu. Oh no, wait. That was a different article. Yeah. That's a baseball player who passed away. Yeah. We requested to interview Mike McCarthy, but the Cowboys said no. The offensive coordinator for the Giants. But why though? Like, just there are two names that should Mike Kafka. That was it. There are two names that should have been on there. Ben Johnson.
The whole
and Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The Lions defensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn, is out there interviewing quite a bit. He should be on anybody's short list, I think, right now.
Well, the Bears need to, like, no. I disagree the Bears, like, head coaching change means there's going to be a whole regime change. We'll see who the new defensive coordinator is for the Bears afterwards. The Bears need an offensive mind because the Bears still play a brand of football that is lost in the late 80s and early 90s. And as much as I like good defensive teams do not win in modern professional football. And you have a quarterback that you need a head coach who can cultivate that guy's talent. Because there is no doubt when you just look at the raw numbers of what Caleb Williams did this year, if you put Caleb Williams on your Commanders, who's to say what kind of year he has? Or, you know, just because clearly the development was there. He threw for 3,000 plus yards. He didn't turn the ball over very much. He was strong in the pocket. The Bears' problems are not Caleb Williams' fault. The Bears' problems are their front office, honestly. Ryan Poles needs, but he's not going to get fired. He's going to hire this coach, and then his lifespan with the Bears will depend on the lifespan of this head coaching hire. Second that dude gets fired, Ryan Poles is out. The other thing that just needs to go is you've got to get rid of McCaskey. Like, the McCaskeys need to not own the team. They need to sell the team. And it's just, they're out of touch. Like, when you hear George McCaskey Jr. talk, you're like, what fucking planet are you on, dude?
So like when he talks, do you have that Hall & Oates song, You're Out of Touch, playing in the back of your mind?
I have a lot of things in the back of my mind when that man talks, and none of them are good.
Yeah,
But
I mean, and I know we got to move on to college football, but I did want to say it was very interesting. The Cowboys' response to when the Bears sought permission to talk to McCarthy, and by declining that, really starts to get the people in Dallas who are desperate for any sort of coaching change or some sort of change, thinking he's going to bring back Mike McCarthy, isn't he? You know, that's like 2-3 years now that you're looking at the saying, what has this guy done to earn the right? But Jerry, this is what Jerry does. You know, he kept Jason Garrett in there for too long. You know, it takes damn near an act of Congress to get him to fire a coach. I applaud his loyalty, but when you're talking about the Dallas Cowboys, and God knows I hate them as much as anything in the world, but I recognize the fact this is I won't say America's team, fuck all that, but this is one of the most important franchises in all of sports, and they are a middling franchise and have been since they won the Super Bowl in 1995. And I don't get it, man. Hey, you guys want to stay mediocre? Great. We will pick your bones clean. But if you're a Cowboys fan, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. Let's move on to the college football playoff. We had our two semifinals games kicked off this past Thursday with Penn State and Notre Dame in what was another James Franklin-led loss in big games. James Franklin is unfortunately, I feel bad for the guy in the sense that he's been a very good coach, but he has not been the coach to the level that Penn State wants. And a college football playoff semifinal appearance. He's not going to get fired, everybody. Like, I'm not saying that. Don't run with that. But you had a 10-point lead, and you didn't extend that lead. And Notre Dame, and this game was boring for three quarters. Like, nobody was moving the football. Nobody was getting it done. But in the second half, Notre Dame controlled that game. Like, Notre Dame erased the deficit, took the lead, and Penn State had to tie it. And then just a litany of debacles to finish that game. You know, Penn State has the ball, opportunity to drive down the field and kick the winning field goal. I think they threw an interception, if I remember correctly. Notre Dame gets it into field goal range, kicks the field goal, moves on to the college football playoff final. It was a very dramatic fourth quarter of a very boring first three quarters, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was. I mean, if you came in around the halfway through the third quarter, then that's really all you had to see, because from there on, it was a hell of a game. And I think I texted you like down the stretch. I was like, this is a hell of a game. A bad decision by Penn State's quarterback near the end. I forget his name. I'm sorry.
Drew Aller.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Drew Aller. It was a very uncharacteristic game for Drew Aller. He is known, like, I don't want to say game manager is the right word, but he's not known for throwing, like, for getting picked. I think going into that, he's a sophomore, and he had like 7 picks for his career. Like, he was a very good quarterback, and he threw 2 picks in that game.
Yeah, I mean, the last one, the crucial one, I mean, you know, people react to pressure differently. That was his pressure-packed situation. They'd blown the lead. Notre Dame had come back. Like you're saying, this is their chance. They can drive down, get into field goal range, and at least take the lead. Maybe too much time at that point to get the outright win. To make the decision to throw that ball, you know, kind of falling away across the middle of the field, and everybody, you know, all the analysts were on him about, you can't ever make that throw. People do things with pressure situations, with everything on the line like that, and it bit him. And, you know, Notre Dame, to their credit, that was a pressure kick that I forget the guy's name who made that.
Yeah, it didn't really matter. Here's the other thing. Penn State has a phenomenal offensive line. They have a terrific running game. Notre Dame did a great job of really bottling up Penn State's dynamic running backs. And Penn State got exposed for lack of dynamic talent in the wide receiver. Like, their best receiver is in the tight end position. And when you don't have dynamic top tier receivers, and you know that secondary for Notre Dame, they'll get you. And if there's a matchup, we'll shift over. So Ohio State did get challenged by Texas. Like, that was a 14-14 ball game at one point. before Ohio State then scored back-to-back touchdowns, really put it away with a couple of, again, turnovers and some big plays that just went in the right direction. Texas was moving the football against Ohio State. They just couldn't quite put it into the end zone. Ohio State found a couple of touchdowns late to win 28-14. And it was their Ohio State's running game that actually won the game for them against Texas's defensive line, because Jeremiah Smith, who is going to make a lot of money on Sundays, not next year, but the year after, because he'll only be a sophomore and the NFL draft rules are dumb. You have to play 2 years of college before you can go pro. They held him in check. Like, he did not have he had one catch for 3 yards. They took him out of the game, and Ohio State still found a way to win, which also, by the way, if you're Notre Dame, that should be scary for you. Now, they also have, like, the difference between Ohio State and Penn State is that they have Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Abuka, who are both going to be catching footballs on Sunday and are going to make money doing it.
Well, I think, and you and I know we messaged it when this happened, you know, that game there, when it was 21-14 Ohio State, and I think that was the better of the two games. You know, it was a little bit more back and forth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And definitely more engaging, especially down the stretch. So Ohio State gets the lead. Texas gets, what, 2 pass interference calls in the end zone on, like, consecutive plays.
Yeah.
They probably missed a third one.
Oh, yeah. And
they probably missed a third one. So they get first and goal. They don't get in. And then, yeah, you got to second guess the sweep.
They run a toss sweep.
They run a toss sweep, lose 7 yards. That really, to me, was almost as big a play as the one that Sawyer goes and he knocks the ball out of Ewer's hand, races down 83 yards for the touchdown to put it away.
Puts that away. The strip sack for the fumble. The toss play, yeah.
I can't say I get it, because.
Well, I do. So let me tell you why. Because what was the first thing I texted you when they ran that toss was, you know, you made it harder, just run it through. And so I understand the thinking, even if I think it was bad thinking. The thinking in my mind is, okay, everybody and their brother, Ohio State's going to sell out for a dive or a quarterback sneak. So we're going to try to catch them napping, and we're going to run a toss to the outside. You know, maybe not run a toss, maybe run off tackle instead. You know, create a seal and run off tackle instead of going for the sweep to the outside. Because the problem with that play is if Ohio State isn't selling out to the middle like they weren't, then it allows them, because that's a longer developing play, that allows their speedy safeties and linebackers to get in position to make the stop. And that's what blew it up. If you look, a defensive back, I think it was the safety, he comes through untouched on that toss play. And while he doesn't make the tackle, he throws off the entire rhythm of what that play is trying to do. And then there was just nowhere to go. And when that happened, that was the moment where both of us were like, yep, that's it. That was kind of the game.
And the play right before the fumble. Yeah, that's the one where they threw it in the end zone. And I'm like, you know, you could have called PI on that one as well if they really wanted to, but they didn't. And that's okay, because you can't call them all. You can't.
I mean, well, and at some point, the players got to make the plays, right? Like, you got to, like, it's the same thing in college basketball, which I both am frustrated with, yet kind of get. I hate when an officiating crew or team calls a tight game in a basketball game for 38 minutes. And in the last 2 minutes of the game, we just let them play. And things that were fouls are no longer fouls and stuff like that. I also don't like it the other way around, though, where we're calling everything to where the officials are the game. And it's such a tough thing. Like, to be an official at any sporting event is a nightmare scenario. It's just so hard to do right. You know, I'm sitting there as an Illinois fan yesterday. I was talking about this basketball game, and I actually thought it was a very well officiated game as I was watching. There was like 2 plays where I was like, that was a bad call. One was a traveling call on an Illinois player, and one was an anticipation foul call on like a drive to the rim. Like, just shit that happens, you know, where they were bad calls. Did I think the officiating crew cost like a team a game? No, I don't think the officiating crew cost anybody the name. And, you know, and in Texas, they're going to look at that toss sweep play for a year and what that could have been. And, you know, Quinn Ewers is likely moving on. Now you've got Arch Manning. I have to assume he's moving on, because if he doesn't move on, then Arch Manning will move on and play quarterback for someone else. I think Ewers is out of eligibility. So I don't think it matters. But then again, you never know when the NCAA might change their mind. Or, you know, something like Carson Beck, star quarterback for the Georgia Bulldogs, entering the transfer portal and taking a boatload of cash to play at the University of Miami. Let's hear for name, image, and likeness and boosters. Because that dude made money. And can I just say, I don't know that I think there is a truly dynamic college quarterback out there right now. Like this guy is going to be in the NFL stud of studs. Like it's not there. So you're going to see more of what happened with Carson Beck, where he's going to go get a bag somewhere else and get paid there, because he's not going to make the NFL money that people hope he would be. Maybe Shedeur Sanders is that guy. I don't believe it, but you know he's got Deion behind him. So
This isn't the class at last year where you had three.
No, not at all.
Studs coming out. No. Yeah.
And I don't know who you've got coming in. You know, there was a lot of talk that kid out of Nebraska, his name is eluding me right now. But he had a good start to like first two or three games to start his career. He was amazing, and then Illinois kind of exposed him, at least his inexperience. Dylan Raiola is the kid's name. Who people were comparing to Patrick Mahomes. He loves Patrick Mahomes. He kind of looks like Patrick Mahomes. He dressed like him. But I look at next year's college football landscape, and I'm hard pressed to say there are several that there's even one or two sort of no doubt NFL starter quality quarterbacks. I think there are a lot of backup quality quarterbacks in college football. Like Drew Aller for Penn State is a backup NFL quarterback. Carson Beck is a backup caliber quarterback. I just said his name out of Texas. And now Quinn Ewers, he's a backup. We don't know what Arch Manning is. We know that everybody's going to go nuts for him because Peyton Manning's kid, but we don't know what he's going to be. We've seen him. We saw him fumble the football in that semifinal game. He didn't fumble the football. We'll have to find out. So I think Arch is Peyton's. Oh, he's Cooper's. Sorry, my bad. Thank you, executive producer PC Tunney behind the scenes. You can't see him, but he's got a whiteboard and is silent. So, all right. And PC Tunney's arrival means that we've probably hit time here, Dave. A good 45 minutes. I will say this. Who you got? We'll end this here. National Football Championship, Notre Dame, Ohio State. Notre Dame just announced today one of their top offensive linemen out for the game. He is done. Notre Dame is really banged up, but they have a little extra time. Because they're not playing for another week and a half, so there is an opportunity to heal up a little bit. But who you got, Ohio State or Notre Dame for the national championship?
Do I get the spread or not? Because it's literally like 9.5.
Oh, I'm not. I don't do gambling.
No, I think
so this is just who you got. Who's winning?
I think Ohio State's got a little bit too much for them. If you're talking point spread, though, do I think Notre Dame can hang within 10 points of them? Yes, absolutely. But I would take Ohio State.
I think if Notre Dame gets more healthy, they can hang with them. They are really beat up.
Like you pointed out what Texas did, minimizing or neutralizing Jeremiah Smith. If Notre Dame can do that, they've got a shot. If they can't, then it'll be over by half.
Well, Jeremiah Smith is just one half of it, though. You also have to account for Emeka Ebuka. Everybody forgets about Ebuka. And that guy is going to be a pro next year, and he's going to make a lot of dollars. And people are going to be like, holy crap, he was the guy. And so we're going to see what happens there. But I really believe that it's going to be a good game. I laughed. CBS, one of their guys had predicted the Texas-Ohio State game to be a blowout and just wasn't. I don't think it'll be a blowout. I think Ohio State will win. If I were to bet against the spread, I would bet Ohio State to win, but Notre Dame to cover their spread.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you look at the playoff, what, Notre Dame's a 7 and Ohio State's an 8 seed, or is it a 6 and a 7?
That's a fault of the seeding system. You can't look at the seeding system. Like, fucking Boise State was a higher seed. Yeah. Arizona State was a higher seed.
No,
Ohio State plays either of those teams. they're blowing the doors off of them. And I love the story of Arizona State. I do.
And I know we talked about it, about how they need to revamp the seating because it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. All right, Dave, we got to get out of here. Look forward to that game. We'll surely talk about it on the show. Just cause that's kind of where we've been. And maybe the Bears will have finished interviewing all of the NFL by the time
I heard PC Tunney got a call first. I haven't got one yet.
He might have gotten a call for the Bears head coaching position, since all they do is Zoom interview people. That's the other thing, is it's all they're Zoom interview news. It's just so Mickey Mouse. Why did you do that to me, dude? Why did you have to? We circled back on this.
I think Tunney was telling us he's got the Bears phone number blocked on. Is what he was.
He should, rightfully so. Anyway, okay. We're going to get out of here. Before we do, Dave, tell everybody where to find you on the socials and on the Chairshot Radio Network.
Yeah, you can find me on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG, Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression, and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads.
You can follow me on most of your social media platforms at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. Folks, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Hockey Talk. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will see you next week as we get closer and closer to the, what is it called? The Continental Classic or whatever it is? Not the Continental Classic. That's something else.
That's AEW.
The NHL. Yeah, it's AEW. I'm sorry. I got my promotion. The replacement of the NHL All-Star Game. Oh, we're about a month away. Yeah, you're gonna hear us talking more about Alex Ovechkin because he is the story of the NHL. It's not just because Dave is a Washington fan, Caps fan, not Nationals, Caps. God, my sports are all confused.
Go Nats.
Getting out of here. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. This has been Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Over the past 75 years, more than 10,000 chemicals have entered our food supply, but the EU allows just 300 additives. At Thrive Market, we prioritize quality, banning over 1,000 ingredients found in conventional grocery stores. Our Healthy Swap scanner helps you find better versions of your pantry essentials without the junk, dyes, or fillers, and everything is delivered right to your doorstep. So shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health at thrivemarket.com/getstarted for 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift.